words or less.
Is that well?
Yeah.
Well, we want to finish lesson 27 exercises. For those of you, we have this question on number two here, when his life came to an end, and whether he used the singular or the plural form of the verb for life, with life. And Daniel found one example of Psalms where apparently the plural verb form was used. So I think on that basis we can conclude that at least that's possible. I mean, it'd be right to have Kalu. So in this particular verse, so this particular exercise, so we can go. I guess we'll probably use that for now, but we might, they want to check and see if they have to use a singular too. But Waihi Kaasher Kalu Kayao Waiyakuru Oto Bekever Habotao. Any questions on that one? Besides that verse form. Okay. Does anybody remember when you had that one yesterday? Who's up next?
John had it. I had the first one.
Okay, and John had it. Well, we're back to Doug anyway.
We're back to Doug anyway.
Yeah. Okay, we did number two, so three's next. When you cross the river, you will see the land which I'm about to give to you. The first part of this we're about to give. So something like I am giving you. If you're assuming that the masculine lot of people stem it. Well, okay, just a couple of things here. Basically, pretty good here. Wuhaya, you got your structures right. Wuhaya ki ta'avor et anahar wuraita et ha'ar. It's kind of an F on ha'ar there. Wuraita et ha'ar. Asher ani or anoki. And then you want no pain. You want the parts of the form rather than, I think you said, you have the right verb, but it's, you need to use the parts of the form, no pain, which I give. Otherwise, it would be, which I gave to you. If you use not thought of you, which I gave to you. So you need to use the parts and we'll get that progressive aspect here and so forth. So you'll use no pain. So anoki or ani, no pain, laka. Yes, Peter.
I need the plural second person.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Okay, when you cross the river, let's see. Okay, we got to go through the plural. Did anybody else do that? Got the forms figured out?
Ta'avru,
okay, that should be right. And then, Ra'ikem, is that what you have?
No, I had
Ra'ikem. Okay, Ra'ikem. Yes,
it's
probably going to get... Yeah, let's double check that one. they get a whole paradigm for I think they did, for something like that. You got a 2 hours in a 3 day.
No cops.
Yeah, you're getting the now and then. Yeah, right East M. Okay, so it'll be right East M, and then what else would you have?
Lock M
at the end. Okay. Any other questions? Structure, the sequence, and so forth. It's when you cross the river, you're dealing with future, so you're going to use a converted perfect to introduce your temporal modifier to Wahaya rather than YD. Okay, number four. Afterward, they sent men to Egypt, for there was a famine in the land. That's the gist here, eh?
YD, Akare, Cain. Vayishlechu, Anashim, El Mitzrayim, Ki Ra'av Ba'aretz.
Okay. You probably want to stick a Hayah in there before Ra'av just to make sure there was a famine in the land.
Okay.
Because you need to keep it past. So, you know, it'd be all right if it was just present because there is a famine in the land.
When we went through all that, it said the context could be Israel.
Yeah, the context can. That's why I say, you could get by. But they sent men to Egypt. You got a perfect verb form. It's possible, but you're usually going to have to rely on even more context than that.
Uh-huh.
Because it's possible a person might want to say, they sent men to Egypt for there is a famine in the land. You might, under some circumstances,
right.
You want to say
the person was in the land at the time.
Yeah. So if you had it, but if there was enough context there that, it's pretty clear that they did it back then, I don't know if there could be any problem, but just to be sure, I think it'd be safer to go with the Hayah there.
So, Ki Hayah Ra'av.
Yeah, Ki Hayah Ra'av Ba'aretz. Okay, then everything else I think was all right. You could, as an optional form for El Mitzrayim, you could have had Mitzrayimah too.
Yeah.
If you wanted to put the common say, either way would be fine.
Now,
so, I'll go through it again one more time. Waihi Akare Tain. You had that for the vocab here, somewhere nearby, sort of after. It's up there at the top of the afterwards. So what you're just saying, in effect, is, and it came to pass after these things, and it was after these things, and they sent men to Egypt. Vayishlachu Anashim. And since it says they sent men rather than the men, you don't need the S, so, or an article. So Vayishlachu Anashim. El Mitzrayim or Mitzrayma, Ki Hayah Ra'av Ba'aretz. There was a famine in the land. Yes?
I always get these verbs wrong. You want to always use a future tense when you want past, and use a past tense when you want future.
Yes, in effect, because you're dealing with the middle of the sequence here. So you're going to deal with converted forms.
But in a narrative sequence, it's normal.
Well, in a narrative sequence, a narrative sequence is where things are reversed. But I think what you're thinking of is once you break it up with, say, a subordinate clause, then you go back to normal forms. Like if you've got a ka'asher, then things that follow the ka'asher, or things that follow the key, or whatever, they're going to be back to your normal form.
They are?
Yeah, for a while anyway. Then you couldn't. We'll look at example number three to illustrate. When you cross the river, you will see the land which I'm about to give to you, and so forth. Okay. It says, we have Wahaya. Now, that's a converted form, so we're talking about the future. And then we have the key. As soon as we have the key, the thing that follows the key, that phrase that follows the key, that temporal modifying phrase, is going to use normal form. And so we use an imperfect form, Ta'avor. But then when we go back and pick up Ta'avor, Eth, Nahanahar, then when we go back up and pick up the main series, then we use Wa Ra'itha, that's a perfect form, with the waw. So So that's part of that's continuing the narrative.
Is that the future?
Yeah. It's got future meaning with perfect form. But in the key clause, you have the form. It's an unconverted form. You have whatever you really need. Okay.
On number four, then, if it said after they sent them into Egypt, there was a famine in the land, then we would have sent would be Shalkut. Wouldn't be. It would be in the. In other words, because.
Oh yes, right, right. Then,
but here it's there's a separation afterward, and then it's they sent them into Egypt.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. You could right. You could say this without using one of the temporal modifying phrases, and by just saying after they sent them into Egypt or something, and then you're just dealing with you're not dealing with one of these temporal clauses now. Just using an adverb.
How about these would it be?
Oh, you probably.
Or would it
you
come first?
Probably see the verb first there, most likely.
Shalaku
Akarek and Anashim and so forth. But I don't think you would be required. If you really want to put the emphasis on afterward, or after they sent them in, then you might see Akarek ahead of that, but most likely you see the verb there.
You're going to set up that kind of
instruction.
Okay. Yeah. Yes, I got this straight.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Ta'avur is, we call that an unconverted imperfect.
Mm-hmm.
And the Ta'ita, you would call a converted perfect.
Right. Which has its imperfect meaning now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's part of the main narrative sequence, whereas the key clause was kind of subordinate to the main narrative sequence. That's why you go back to the normal forms there. It's not picking up information as part of the sequential relationship anymore. Okay. Any other questions on number four? It's telling you anything. Okay, number
with these words like in case, some of these others for after.
Oh.
Can that mean after in time, or is that after in spatial relationship, or?
Where was that? I'd like to look at that again.
The
case,
might have come off of the back of the book.
Seems like we had it, though.
Yeah. I thought we did, too.
Yeah. Might have been back there when,
they separate in between after and afterwards.
Mm-hmm. That's one of those things where you don't have to do word study to see the distinction in English language.
It was in one of the meetings.
Oh,
yeah, I don't
see
it in the
book.
I would have thought it too, but I don't think it's in the book yet.
It rings a bell. I went back to about 20.
They did it for.
That's a lot further back than I thought.
Where at?
Case 84.
Oh, no, we're looking for McCase, though.
McCase.
You see, think he's got an optional form, but he found it in the back, probably.
Yeah, but it's not under after in the back.
It's not under after.
Where did I get that?
Okay.
I got it from somewhere.
Well, when you find out, let us know. You had it too?
No, I didn't have it, but I heard it. I've heard it.
Well, it sure sounds familiar.
But they used it.
That was like a very common thing.
Maybe it's one of their meetings, kind of thing. Some location or something.
Oh, I know where it came from. It came from page 123, right in the beginning of the chapter.
Oh, yeah.
Time words such as yom, shana, eight are common with prepositions but, also mekate, at the end of the after.
Okay. All right. That's right. Well, it sounded recently familiar. Okay, well, it's not in the vocab, but... at the end of our after, I think that's kind of got more of a finality to it. It's more, these things ended, these things completed, these things completed.
But afterwards, it's kind of
close. It's pretty close. guess it, I don't think in this particular it would be.
But if we were going to, if it was usable, it would just substitute for operate Hane.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd just be what he.
Yeah, but you probably want something like these things.
Oh, what he McCase does.
I don't know if McCase would be used with Hane or just what it would be used. They've been reading Ha'ela or something. So you might be better off to use this.
Yeah.
But McCase is it's the kind of preference lady is asking for something else.
Mm.
After what?
Yeah, because they just swap it in,
mm-hmm.
in the middle.
Well, if it's a word K,
on the end of this.
And then you would be asking for something, you know, that would be kind of a construct with a preposition on it.
And then, could you say McCabe's eighth?
Well, I'm not sure. He doesn't say here, but I almost suspect that it would either do that. I would guess it to do one of two things. It would either be a noun and construct, which you just say McCate, and then just put the other noun and absolute following it, or without an F or anything. Or it might be something that takes either F or more likely even L or something like that, preposition L, and then we take another preposition following that and McCate L or something. From the end of
like
yeah, there's some that do that too. So I'm not sure which it does. He doesn't give enough information there. But you need to be a construct or a preposition.
That's the right form for the construct.
Is
that word made?
Is it okay? That's what it looks like. That's the right form. That's probably what it is. Construct and it's an absolute and it's getting a genitive idea. When you that means you need something there, like Divarine or A letter, these things or something like that to make sense out of it. Okay. Maybe we can dig up things here. Well, part of the learning process. Afterwards, okay, number five, who's up next, Tony?
Yeah.
On that day, you will see him standing before you.
Can I ask some questions before I go?
Sure.
I've got a mess of a sentence here, I know it, but in just looking at the English sentence itself,
mm-hmm.
if we didn't have this sentence stuck in lesson 27, how would we know to start out with wa and hayat?
Oh, I see.
I mean, as far as I can see, there is no and anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I can even put, and now we got two of them spoken in the sentence.
Well, it's mainly because this is chapter 27, and because he's trying to teach you. Well, I mean,
they were taking out a copy.
Brother.
You know. When exactly? You have to go to other places.
I suppose in sentence five, you might see. If it wasn't part of a previous narrative, you could start the narrative right here. And if you did, you wouldn't have this wahaya or anything else in front of it. You just start out by yom ahu, and then go to an imperfect form, and that would start your series, and then you continue. But we're just assuming that we're continuing a series here.
I was thinking about that reference to the meeting that we had earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah.
So they wouldn't be wrong if they were done with the view of, we didn't work continuing there.
Yeah, there's a qualification that it's done with the senses.
Right. Yeah, see this mechanism in lesson 27 is designed to be able to give a temporal modifying phrase without breaking up the series. They want to keep the series, so that's why they put the wahaya in there. And otherwise, you would break up the series, of course, by introducing an adverbial modifier in front of the thing. And that's what you normally like to do, is to set the stage for what's going to happen.
Yeah.
You put your time modifier afterwards, it's a little bit awkward. So I think that's really what you have to keep in mind here. Okay. I'm trying to think of some of these. When they saw him, some of those, it'd be awful hard to do it any other way, though.
It's a problem.
Hmm?
Staff have ever been, it's probably
yeah.
been talked
about. Yeah. Those are the ones. But these prepositional, you know, prepositional phrase modifiers, those could be either way. Okay. Does that help any, Tony?
Yeah, that helps. Okay. Like I said, I got that. I'm going to go ahead and ahead and give you what I have so I can hear the correction.
Okay.
Okay, because I really got, I don't know, for some reason, it's like looking at it, but we even ain't talking about the same thing anymore.
Okay.
You know, I thought maybe you were trying to pull from other chapters again, like you've done in the past, but I put that way, so doesn't that make sense?
No, I don't think so here. He's assuming that you're going to, he should have made a statement to that effect, though. I thought some of the interpretations. You've got all the vocabulary words there, just for most of them, and just not all quite the same. The thing is, we're assuming we're going to start with what he's asking for here, temporal modifier in a series. You start with wahaya, because it says, on that day you will, so it's the future. So, wahaya, and then there is an idiom for on that day, you had all, would you have all?
Al hayom,
hazeh. Well,
yeah.
First of all, you had on this day, because that is this, so it has to be ha'u. I suppose that'd be all right, but there is an idiom for on that day, bayom ha'u, bayom in that day is kind of the way they say it. So, wahaya bayom ha'u. Now, I think you had a second person form on your, an imperfect form for your birth, but the trouble is that we haven't had 3 K's in the imperfect yet. So you probably made a pretty good guess, but so that's one way you can tell that you can't have to set up the series. That may be why we did it. That would do it. That would fix you good, because you couldn't start it. You don't have 3 K's in the imperfect yet.
That's why I asked. Really.
Was that it? Okay.
Yeah.
That's good job. Oh, now I know he's going to be doing a series. Okay.
You have to go somewhere.
That may be why he did it. He didn't tell you in the beginning if that was the case, just to see if you could guess that. Okay, well, anyway, it's a converted perfect form, so it should be Wara'itha, assuming it's second person masculine figure. Wara'itha. Otho. So you want your direct object there. So it will be him. And then standing is going to be a participle here. So it'll be omeid. See him standing, third person masculine figure, part of
him. Any ideas for that?
No, not need to be.
You've got
more of a predicate position here. See him standing. You're not seeing
him
the standing one or something like that. But you're seeing him in the act of standing.
Who is standing before him?
Oh, yeah, that might see him who is standing. Yeah, that would be different, right?
But that would be the predicate position.
Okay. No, see him who is thinking. That would be where your attributive position. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to use, let's just set that up. I don't know if you can put both so with the. Well, yeah, you could probably do it. Just put ha'omei, then that would just make that kind of a substantive and appositional, so that would work out. But that's not what we want. What we want is just an anarchist participle, because it's verbal sense there and adverbial sense. So see him standing, see him in the act, and see him as he's standing or something like that, which you want. More of a circumstantial participle in the Greek idea. Okay, so otho omeid, and what do we want here? Before you, so literally before your face. So it would be lifaneka. Second form down here.
So it's looking at the phoneca.
Yeah.
And it looks like it gets lengthening everywhere except the heavy suffixes. Is that what they're trying to say there?
Right. The heavy suffixes you would get, you know, if it was list name Sam or something like that, then you get that double reduction.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have been just thinking of list name in the construct, just the construct plural form that you had list name. So, lip on that half. All right, all kinds of review here. The participle in here, got perfect, converted perfect. Temporal clause. So I'll go through it one more time. Lepaya bayom hahu, wa wuraita oso, omez lepaneha. Okay, number six. And when she found the tree, she ate some of its fruit. Who that is. Okay.
Past
tense
also.
Right.
I tried to put myself on the future, but it must be.
It'll be his normal form here because it's part of that temporal clause.
So that's
mata'a? Yeah, mata'a. Just a perfect form.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go to your perfect, you convert it to your perfect. And it has to be one all up.
Yeah. I'm sure it would be past tense, but you put it in the future.
Well, yes, it's got past meaning. But you see, you're continuing a narrative sequence that's got converted to imperfect.
Watsokal.
It's one olive, it's getting, you know, it's an olive, and you get a, this is one of the ones that, remember there was five verbs, you know, and always the little thing, and you know, I said it wouldn't eat, would she bake leather hair or something, okay, because she baked it, leather hair, so eat is one of those. So it gets, the full, so call.
Material. Oh, I thought it was
thin. Oh, from its fruit. Well, that goes back to tree. Is tree feminine?
No, I'm looking at
it. Okay, unless it's feminine, it should be.
Now, would you, that last one, material?
Mm-hmm. Okay, material should be name with here. Pay with here, and I got Dagesh here too. Yeah, okay, that's just because of the input stuff. And then Resh with Shua, it would be Thar Shua in this case. And then Yod and Kolom Wow, mid period. Yes, Phil.
Did you say there was a on that?
Before where? There's one before 8. Yes, 8.
I mean on the last word there.
Oh, no, she ate from it, is really what you're saying. So, watokal material. You should have a prepositional phrase in this construction. If it were she ate it, then it would be, it would have an adverb. It might be also or something. But because she ate from it, it's really a prepositional phrase now. It needs to be in this construction.
Okay. So
from its fruit, or from the fruit of it. So, she ate from the fruit of it, is like what we're saying. Not to call, there was a papak on that last syllable too, so papak on that
one.
Well,
sort of.
No, it's not a guttural there, so it's a cop.
Well, that's right, it's a word.
Yeah, it's just a papak that your first day is all you say. I'm sure that the one olive had something to do with this. You hardly know what sometimes. Okay, Waihi Ka'asher Masa'a Es Ha'et Watokhao Mithiryo. Any other questions?
It can't be Mithiryo.
Oh, you could have had Mithiryo too. You made separable. Let's see, no one answered the article. The article's on it, you don't put it in. You need to put it in. You need to get, you know, if you have the article actually on the known, then you want to get it split.
Yeah.
Well, you can say may ha, too. You know, but you use the form that options are min or may. And make it inseparable with may ha. Could have had, in this case, well, this is the suffix here, not to worry about it. You got the suffix on, that makes a difference. You're not going to put an article on it anyway. Just use the form that you use when there's no article. Okay. Number 7. In the evening you shall go out of the city and flee toward the mountain. Daniel 15. Did anybody check that? I think it may just use that. Well, what I had was instead of Min-Ha-Ir or Me-Ha-Ir, I had Ed-Ha-Ir, just in making a direct object. Now, that might be wrong. Let's double check that.
Something was different than
Let's double check that verb. It just has to do with the way these verbs act. What would you say for our Yatsa? I think we had it as a participle way back there, but. Was it ever restated in the vocabulary? You see, they probably wouldn't say anything as a participle on there.
I
should list it somewhere again. Well, maybe it's because it's right in the back.
It doesn't say anything about it.
I thought this verb had something peculiar about it.
I wrote down that it has meaning.
Oh, you do? They did? Okay. Well, that may be
it. It wasn't in the vocabulary, I know.
It's funny, that's what I would expect it to do. So I had something different. That makes me think that maybe... go for it. What's the thing in there?
I got a little note on my book in my notes here. It says, use with men.
Use with men?
I don't know where I got that.
Okay. Okay, well, I'll accept that. That does make more sense. The reason that I wondered here is because what makes sense to me is not what I have here. That makes me wonder.
That's what I have in my notes too. Requires men.
Requires men, okay. I'm sure that's right. That's the only thing that really makes sense. Some of these verbs are peculiar the way they take objects, so that's why I'm always going to always those verbs. But, okay, either min ha ir or may ha ir.
On the vocabulary, when I went over it, you might have said something.
It might have been one we had in a lesson or something, and they made a note or something like that.
I think there were examples where we found it out. For example, in lesson 6, the exercises in C, sentence 6 have an example.
Way back in lesson 6, okay, that's right. Example, the part C example which?
Example 6 or 8.
Oh, okay.
In your thing.
Min higher, okay.
Sure.
But well, it would be the same. It's part simple there, but it would be the same.
Should have
okay, good. Okay. We'll settle that. It must have just been an oversight then, that's all I can say.
Mm-hmm. Looking at
the
example.
So it has to have repetition. Okay, that makes sense. Okay, right, yeah. Now, going back there, we have Wahaya, so we're wanting to say, in the evening you shall go out. So we're continuing the narrative. We've got Wahaya converted to perfect, making imperfect meaning, future meaning. Ba'era is your prepositional phrase that sets the setting. Now you're going to use a converted perfect. Now you're picking up the series again, using a converted perfect. So Wahyasata. That would be Yatsata would be Yod Kamat Zabi Kamat Kwas and Allah and Tau Kamat. Or if you want plural, you would have we sat them. We sat them. W and Yod would have to show up in a row. So if you did go plural here, it'd be we sat them. So either with we yatsata or we sat them. Min ha'ir, And then in flee, so you're going to continue your converted perfects. So this would be uvarakta, uvarakta. Is that what you had, Ben?
No, I
had
something wrong here.
You have a different
tablet. We have future this sentence, and it's all converted, so
yeah.
We have all imperfect.
Well, we should have all perfect. We should have all perfect here. Because we're wanting future, but it's all converted.
What did you have?
Okay, Ubarak, Barak is Barak is to flee.
Yes, I had that in, but I didn't.
You had the right verb, but you had it perfect.
The verb I had. Instead of that
dropping to oh, that's what did it. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. It's just because before labials,
yeah.
The form is. Yeah. So, did you have Ubarakta or something?
Yeah,
okay. That's what it was then.
Yeah.
Ubarakta, it's the Shurek there just because of the labial. Okay. And, or if you went plural, it would be Ubarakta. Ubarakta. And then Hahara for the mountain. Is that what you had, or did you have it all?
Yeah, I
had
that.
Okay. Ahara. 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 Excuse me. Ahara. Lots of ahs there. Okay. Do you want me to go through that again? Or do you have a question first? Okay. Uvarakta vivi shurek. They with commas. And no dog age because it's softened after the food. Resh with pasak. Kate with shua. Normally it doesn't do that, but of course at the end of that verb form, maybe you can put a shua there. And then tau with dagesh and tau.
Did you say
flee to the outside of the city? She'll go out of the city. Mova kutla here. That probably would be alright to go. I think you're saying a little bit more to go from the outset of the city to almost what did they give you on the vocabulary? Did they just stay outside or did they say to the outside of or from the outside of?
They gave it
to the
outside. Yeah.
Going out. Or you're going the other direction. Yeah. I didn't find it in the chapter. I'd like to double check it to remind us. This is the time to really get this thing nailed down when you're actually seeing it.
Here it is, lesson
20,
page 9.
Okay. Makutla is on the outside of, and to the outside or outwards would be. Ha-ha-ha-kuta. So that you could probably use to the outside. But I doubt, let's see, it's on the outside of the kutla, on the outside of the city. See, we do have the city here. I don't think either one of these are going to really fit quite right. Because if you go kutla, it's just to the outside or outwards. And your directional is already on that, so you're not really looking for anything. You're talking about going outside. You're not really saying. You say going outside of. Makutlam, it seems to be more positional, being on the outside of.
Mm-hmm.
But to go forward or to the outside of, I think you just have to, that information comes from the verbial say, which means to go out, and then from the city. So I think that's probably the only way to be able to stress that idiom right. Okay. Lots of some questions. Peter.
I'm trying to get the verb tenses down. If
okay.
You have these temporal clauses,
mm-hmm.
depending on whether it's waihi or wahaya,
uh-huh.
and that right there in that temporal clause, it always corresponds to that. It's always, waihi is going to be past or
wahaya
is going to be future. That
exactly.
form. And then when you get, what the sequence goes on, how do you know, like in number two, it
mm-hmm.
says when it's like into an end, they buried in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you know that's not a past? How do you know?
Well, how do you know not to use a past tense form?
Yeah.
I mean, Well, under the same analogy that you've seen before, if you consider this wahaya here, starting it off, as a part of a narrative sequence. Now, remember our old narrative sequences, where we started out with we start out with a perfect form, and then we use law consecutive forms of imperfect converted forms to continue the idea of the perfect. In other words, continue the past tense idea. Suppose you were to jump into the middle of one of those things. Suppose you're not looking at the very first verb form, but suppose you're looking at one of the second or the third verb form, and that's the first piece of information you've got. You know from that you're in a sequence because of the while consecutive form there. And you can tell right from the form if it's an converted imperfect, and if it's a converted perfect, you can usually tell because of the next verb and so forth, you can see that the sequence is there. Now, having seen that, if you're going to continue a sequence, you're going to have to continue with the same kinds of forms. In other words, that my sequence, I've got converted perfects here, I'm going to have to use converted perfects to continue that sequence. If I go to a real live perfect, I will have broken the series and started over with something else here. And or made it subordinate clause or something like that. So that's the thing that you're drawing from. And so these temporal modifying clauses are all set up assuming you're continuing the series, and so you're either seeing a converted perfect or converted form to start, and that means that if the rest of it's going to follow suit with that. The only exception, of course, is this if the temporal clause itself has a verb in it, that verb will be of the right tense, you might say. It'll correspond to what you're really wanting to say. In other words, if you start off with and which is meaning that your whole clause now is a converted imperfect giving perfect meaning, in other words, you're talking about past tense situation, then a clause that is part of that temporal clause shares something, that's going to go back to perfect. You want to keep a perfect form because you're dealing really with perfect meaning. But then you resume the sequence again with the rest of it, and you convert it into perfect form. Yes?
I admit
it
really
helps
me. Okay. Give a take. A few examples, like sentence number 7. Number 1, pretend that you're doing it.
Uh-huh.
And give us a worldwide flow of sound of what you think. Tell us how you do it. We're doing this assignment.
If I was doing this assignment, give you my reasoning?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 1 and number 7. Okay. When they saw him, they called him. Okay, the first thing I would say is, first thing I'm going to look for is my tense. What's the main tense of this? When they saw him, they called him. That's all past tense. Okay, that's the first thing I say. Now, when I see this when here, I see I'm dealing with a temporal modifier. So I've got a temporal modifier, and I want past tense meaning for the whole thing. That tells me I'm a part of the series, and I'm going to have to use a converted imperfect form. Because I want past meaning, so I'm going to have to use just the opposite form. But I'll use this conversion sequence. So that tells me I'm going to have YE to start it off. And so why he, and then the when is coming from ka'asher. I've already got a word for that. So why he, ka'asher, and then I'm going to use a perfect form now here within this ka'asher clause, because I want the real form, that I wrote the real meaning. I want past meaning, so I'm going to have to use a perfect form in that one. So that would be ra'u. And then I see they call to him. See, the first thing I'm doing, I suppose, there's one step even before all of that. First thing is to recognize that you're dealing with a temporal modifier. To recognize that you've got something. When they saw him, they called him. I'm saying in my mind, what's the main sentence here? What's the main sentence structure? The main sentence is they called to him. And the when is just telling you, is an adverbial modifier telling you the time in which this happened. The thing that happens, the subject of the sentence is they, the object of the sentence is, to him, you've got an indirect object, you've got no direct object, but called is the verb. So, I think this is going to help in the next. I'm determined. I think we'll have to do this. We've never done this in the past, and this book doesn't do it. I don't know of any textbook that does it. The diagramming, even sentences, using diagramming. We do it for Greek, but maybe next year I'll explore the possibilities of setting up a diagram of schemes for Hebrew. You have to do a little different with the Jewish factors and everything. That may be why nobody ever did it. But we ought to invent a diagramming scheme for Hebrew, because I think that would help you in breaking these down, seeing what clause is subordinate, what's the main structure of the sentence. So I suppose the first thing you need to do is pick out the main subject, verb, and object of your sentence, or your main sentence structure. And then you'll see that this, when they saw him, is modifying the main idea of the verb. That tells you it's a temporal modifier. That tells you you're going to need this kind of construction. Okay, then, of course, once I've got this figured out as far as I want past tense for the whole thing, I'm use converted imperfects, and then within my temporal clause, since my temporal clause has a verb in it, it's going to have its real value. It's going to be perfect because it's past tense here. Then I'm going to have a converted imperfect for they call to him. Vayikra'u elav. Okay, so that's my thought process there. Now, number seven, in the evening you shall go out of the city and flee toward the mountain. See, in this situation, again, first thing is, what's my simple subject, object, and so forth? The subject of the sentence is you, and the verb is shall go, and the prepositional phrase is city, and then I have a compound sentence here, see, and flee toward the mountain. So my, the subject of the second independent clause, you might say, is you, and it's flee, as the verb, and then toward the mountain is a directional adverbial modifier. So this one's a little bit more complicated because I do have a compound sentence here, and I have more than one verb in the main sentence. That's going to tip you off to a sequential nature too. Usually those will be sequential, not always, but if in this case you go out of the city and flee, hopefully you go out before you flee. In other words, you flee toward the mountain, you go out of the city first, then flee toward the mountain. And so you see it in your sequence there. So that's your main structure. Now the phrase in the evening is going to be a temporal modifier to that. In other words, it's giving you a time setting, telling you when this is going to happen. It could happen in the evening. So I would say, well, there, I've got imperfect verbs now. You shall go out and you shall flee. So that's imperfect. I want my whole thing to have basically an imperfect meaning. Now, if I want an imperfect meaning in a sequence or a series, then I'm going to have to use perfect verb forms to get it. So I know that I'm going to start off with perfect forms, converted perfect forms. So then since I have this temporal modifier in the evening, their idiom is to use white wahaya. So I would say, I would start out with wahaya, and then ba'era, which is a prepositional phrase. And I don't, fortunately in this one, I don't have any verbs in that temporal modifying clause, so I don't have to worry about going back to the normal value. So that takes care of my temporal clause. Wahaya ba'era. And it was evening, and it will be evening, and it will be evening, and you should go out. Now I'll use converted perfect forms for these other verb forms too. So you shall go out. I'll look for the perfect verb form, and then put the conversion on it. Put the wow on it, then convert it. And then same with flee. Use a converted perfect form for that. So that's kind of the reason.
Would be proper to. In a sense, if I look at this number one and I look at that and I know it's the sentence that they called him, to just for a sake print parenthesis around when they saw him and keep my mind knowing
right.
That that's not really all that essential.
Right, exactly. It isn't essential to sentence, that's the point. Grammatically. Grammatically, the sentence can survive without that phrase. The sentence can be they called to him, and that's a complete thought. Now, on the other hand, when they saw him, if I just said when they saw him, you're waiting for me to finish my sentence. I haven't put in a complete thought when they saw him. So that kind of tips you off too. In other words, to tell whether or not you're dealing with a temporal modifier of clause or whether you're dealing with a main sentence, the main sentence will stand by itself. Like on example number seven, you could have, you shall go out of the city and flee toward the mountain. That's a complete sentence. Even without the phrase in the evening. In the evening is a temporal modifier telling when it's going to happen. It's not essential to the sentence, but it's giving some information in the time setting. But if I say in the evening, period, I haven't really said anything. You know, in the evening what? You know, it's not a thought. So that'll help you.
Yeah, what I was doing, I was working my sentence off that opening ha-ya.
Mm-hmm.
And I was trying to work it all off that, and that's what threw me off.
Okay, that could be.
It didn't really have any meaning, really.
No, it's not essential, let's put it that way.
Yeah.
And that's the point. It is a temporal modifier, and it's something that's thrown in to give some more spice to the sentence, you know. But it's not grammatically essential. Now, it may be essential logically. In other words, it may be when you're dealing with the meaning of the structure and so forth, it may be logically essential to establish the time of a certain event relative to some other event, unless there be confusion or something. But grammatically, it's not essential. Okay. Now, reading, Sarah and Hagar, continue. Meanwhile, back to the ranch here. Pick up our story again. Bob, remember the first bit? Well, you get a short one here. Whose turn is it? Phil. Okay. Daniel was last. That's right. It was just because he had the question. The last guy that was talking, you know. But no, we don't want to miss out. Phil's got a short one here, too, so he didn't want to.
Yahweh, Bakat, Teth, Sarah, Asher, Amar. Yahweh visited Sarah according as he said.
Yes. Yahweh visited Sarah according as he said. Okay, or you could even translate with a perfect here, according as he had said. In Hebrew, there's not any distinction between those, but in our English language, it's probably going to say that.
You've also said Yahweh kept his promise with Sarah.
Yeah, didn't they give you keep promise for about? Yeah, they give you quite a range. Yeah, keep one's commitment, keep one's promise toward. Yeah, that'd be fine.
And then taking the F not as the object marker, but as a prepositional idea. That be valid or?
Oh, I'm not sure here what the for. I think they're, yeah, it just may be that they're, I don't know that in Hebrew they're really thinking of F as being anything other than the object marker, just that the idea of with or for or something.
Well, they give that as one of the possible translations for it.
Do they?
F is with.
Oh, yeah, that's true. F can be with or it can be the object marker. I'm just saying that the use of this particular verb, pachad, I don't know that we can assume that they're thinking of pachad and then F giving a with meaning. They may be just thinking of that whole idea within the verb pachad and then F just an object marker for it, and that's the way they're looking at it. So it's, again, you get into this problem of what's happening in Hebrew and English, you're thinking about it differently. Okay, so in other words, I'm just saying that don't necessarily equate the F with the meaning of with. It may just be the object marker.
Sure.
That's probably what it is.
Sure. Yeah.
But the cod may get this idea with or whatever it means. Okay. Next sentence.
Right.
Holy yes. Well, we'll have to break this one down. Let's see. Go as far as... why don't you go as far as Isaac, maybe?
You got a share down there next time.
Yeah, that could be too. Okay, I take two points. Yes, why don't you go up to YD? Yeah, that would be the best.
Yelada, Sarah, the Abraham, then, Lit, Iskun, Iskun, now, Vlad, Ikra, Abraham, Et, Shem, the No, Asher, Yelada, Lo, Sarah, Yitzhak.
You could even stop there if you want. That's a good thing. Pretty good. Make the next guy work a little harder here.
Sarah bore Abraham a son to his in his old age, and Abraham called the name of his son, which Sarah bore to him, Isaac.
Okay, good. Now, Sarah bore to Abraham a son in his old age, or literally to his old age. Yeah, with reference to his old age. Like that. And Abraham called the name of his son, which Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Yeah, he's
caught. Well, he's realizing he's
this name is really fun, you know, but you almost see, there's almost automatopoeia here because it means laugh.
Yeah.
I mean, there's laughter and so forth. I don't know if it's really automatopoeia or not, but I always remember it that way. Okay, well, we'll stop.